Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, in 1994, a fella from Pat Fahey, a fella called Pat Fahey from Portlaoise, he got a phone call that you could say saved his life. And Pat joins us in the studio this morning. You're very welcome, Pat.
Thanks, Oliver.
We're going to come and chat to you about your story, because I have, first of all, to go to Florida, to Anne Detter, because this story really starts with Anne Detter. Good morning to you, Anne.
Good morning.
Pleasure to speak with you this morning, Anne. Tell us where you were born and how you came to live in the US.
I was born in Tipperary, Ireland, at John Ross Abbey, home for mother and babies. Mm.
And you came there with... Go ahead, yes. So there's a little delay in the line. I'll let you tell the story. I won't interrupt.
I stayed in the mother and baby home till I was 3 and a half, and I was adopted by an Irish couple who were already citizens, so I got my citizenship in 3 years instead of 5. In 1975, I went back to college to study nursing, and I got my nursing degree, which proved to be very valuable. In 1969, I got married, and I had a son in 1970. In 1994, I got a call from my cousin who worked for the FBI in New York City, and he wanted me to help him do a family tree. And I said, sure, I'll get you all the information I have from my mom. And then I told him about when I came back in 1979 looking for my mother at John Ross Abbey. And he said, listen, I have friends in Ireland that work for the FBI in Ireland. Well, I guess you don't call it the FBI in Ireland, but anyhow, he's a private detective, and they owe me favors. So anyhow, he located my mom and told me that my mother was dead and that I had two brothers. Now, how am I going to face this? Do I want to get in touch with them or not? And my husband encouraged me to do so. So now I have two brothers, one that works for the Bank of Ireland and one that is a lifer in the military. So I thought it over and I figured, well, I'll contact the one that's the lifer first and inform him that he has a sister.
So that's what you did. Well, can I take a little step back, Anne, because you've hit us with a huge, big story there. Because obviously you're growing up, you're 3 and a half years of age, by the way, when you leave Ireland to come to America. Do you have memories of being in the mother and baby home and of your birth mother, Ellen?
No, I have no memories at all. Mm.
And your parents?
The only thing that I think that bothered me was the airport. To this day, I don't like airports.
Really, that's what you remember about it. But you knew you were adopted growing up. Your parents, tell us about them in Florida. They were Irish.
I found out when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old that I was adopted. I didn't find out from my parents. I found out from my cousins. But it didn't bother me, because my parents were so good to me. It didn't affect me at all.
They were very good people. And there were older parents as well.
My parents were very old when they adopted me. My mother was 53 and my father was 57.
And you were an only child. They kept your Irish passport,
yes,
which proves crucial to your search later.
Exactly.
Because it had your birth name in it. But you had a very good life with these lovely people from Cork and from Fermanagh, I believe, in Florida. And this was your life.
Yes, my mother was from Fermanagh and my father was from Cork that adopted me. And they were wonderful parents.
And when you go back, because you begin your search, the first search, that is, in the 70s, which is an extraordinary thing to do. I think it would be very rare for children who were adopted across in America to come back in the 70s when mother and baby homes are still very much up and running. What happened when you did that initial search and who did you meet?
Well, in 79, I went back and I was looking for my mother to no avail. And I just said, well, let's make this a vacation. So then we went on to Scotland and Wales. And, you know, when I left Ireland in 79, I said, you know what, I'll never be back. And it was until my cousin, who called me to help him do the family tree, that I went back to Ireland.
And you meet a nun.
Pardon me?
You meet a nun there and who knew your birth mother, obviously. And did you ask? You asked the nun, is that right to pass on a message to your mother?
Well, anyhow, when I went to the home in 79, I wrote down my name and my address, and they knew that I had a son. I wrote that down also. Mm. And I couldn't tell you, I was so upset when I was there what I wrote it on. But lo and behold, didn't we find the book that I wrote it in? It became my mother's address book. And my brother Pat found it. And
many years
later, one day she lost it, and she was so upset. I met a friend of hers, and she explained the whole story. But anyhow, Pat found the book, and he was reading it to me one day after we had made contact, and he said, there's a woman by the name of Ann Madison, and he started the address, 412, and I finished out the address. And the first day that we met in 1994, in August, he brought out the book, and there was a newspaper on the table and a pencil, and I wrote my name exactly the same way.
Wow, extraordinary. And this is how you come. You've given us that story of how you come to meet Pat, and Pat will bring you into the story now at this stage. And there is another health angle, which we'll come to in a moment. But bring us back, Pat Fahey, to that moment over 30 years ago now, isn't it, when you heard you had a sister living in Florida.
Oliver, before I start, I suppose I probably have to do a social welfare post or social media post after this. I didn't wear a suit for our American guest.
You're dressed exquisitely, Pat. You're quite trendy, actually.
Okay. As Anne said, our younger brother Tom was the one to hear first. Mm-hmm. He asked to meet me. And he appeared to be very secretive. Anyway, within a very short while of us meeting, he told me about Anne's existence. And for some reason, or reasons, I was able to accept it very quickly.
Yeah.
Probably within a minute.
Can you explain that to us, how you believed it so good? This is a woman who really should have been a total mystery to you.
She was. There was never a mention by our mother or my father.
But there was you had inklings.
I think, perhaps, thinking back, it provided answers to certain unvoiced questions.
Right.
Like, why did my mother marry a guy 33 years her senior? Mm. And from time to time, I used to see her, I suppose the best word I can use is ruminating.
Yes.
As if she was tossing over some issue or problem. But I never spoke to her, or she never spoke to me.
Which she absolutely was.
Absolutely.
There was a sadness to her, was there?
Yeah, I would think so. And she was quite a sociable person. I think there was one vital time that I missed an opportunity. It was about a week or two before she died. She mentioned that I've had a hard life.
Really?
And of course, me and my wisdom said, oh, yeah, I know. You married an older guy and whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that was my
one
missed opportunity.
But how were you to know?
But it's something I regret.
And because when she was, will you tell us about Ellen, your mum, because you were able to fill in all of the gaps really in the life for Anne, weren't you?
Well, basically, when Anne was adopted, that then released my mother. Mm. And from information we discovered later, from her sister-in-law, we believe that she was down the fields when Anne was taken. So, and I honestly don't believe, having spent 3.5 years with Anne, that she would willingly give her up. She may have signed something, but I don't think she realised what she
signed.
It's
extraordinary. I mean, she was nearly school age at this point, Anne.
Yes.
But your mum, Ellen, this is this very same mother and baby home that is featured in the film Philomena, which
exactly.
is a true story as well.
Yeah, and both Anne and myself would have met sister Hildegard.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. And in the film, I'd say when Anne was leaving, the principal, the son in the film Philomena, I think they were probably arriving, or Philomena was arriving.
Right.
Around that time.
Around that time. So happens to Ellen after that?
Basically, I would think that the nuns, there were nuns in Bar, that they probably got her a job as a domestic servant. And my father at that point around 51 or thereabouts, had a number of bereavements. His first wife, 36 years, had died. His mother died, his brother died, and some other near relations. So from what we understand, he was very lonely.
Right.
And I'm sure spoke to a priest.
And that's how that's, they...
I would think it was a type of an arrangement.
Really, an arrangement. And this is in Burr, County Offaly, which
this
is where...
This is in Burr, yeah.
Where
yeah.
she ends up. And yeah. she, what, late 20s? And your dad is in his 60s?
Early 60s.
Early 60s.
At this point. And they had been married for 36 years prior to that. No family.
And they go on to have two of you. And I take it he probably passed away when you're quite young, considering the age.
Yeah, he died in 77.
Okay.
But...
Go on, yeah. This is just about Ellen, really, isn't it?
Well, Ellen, I mean, yeah, Anne, trying to think, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
well, Anne, back to you in Florida. You finally got all yes. these answers you went looking for back in the 70s, but you're getting them in the 90s. Sadly, you don't get to meet your birth mother.
No, she had passed by the time I found out the information. She died in 88.
What was that like to discover that news?
I was saddened by it, but, you know... When you search for your mother, you know, you have to expect anything.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, can I go on to tell you how I had genetic testing done?
Absolutely. I mean, because this comes to the health angle story, and it's really how you end up in the 90s, finding everybody in the end, isn't it? Tell us, first of all, about the health problems you endured in the 80s.
Well, in 1983, I had colon cancer. And it started out with, you know, rectal bleeding. And, you know, I thought first it was hemorrhoids, but it continued every day. So I went to see the GI doctor, and he told me that I had colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And my son was only 13 at this point. And I said, oh, my God, is he going to be left without a mother?
Yeah.
But anyhow, I had a resection done, and then I had a reoccurrence of cancer in 2001, and I had another colon resection, and then I also had bladder cancer, and then a year later I had a reoccurrence of bladder cancer, and prior to that, when I had the first colon resection, I also had I had a tumor on my ureter, so I lost my kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had any reoccurrences since then, thank God, since 2001.
You've been through the mill. And obviously at this stage, you're wondering what is going on with all these problems to your body.
So I decided when I was 57 in 2004 to have genetic testing done. And I proved to have, you know, I was ready to take anything on board because yeah. I knew I had cancer and everything else. So I did show up for MSH1, which increases your chances of getting several cancers.
This genetic strain is called Lynch syndrome.
Yeah, MSH1 is what I tested positive for, which is Lynch syndrome. And increases your chances of getting colon, endometrial, ovarian, stomach, brain, and skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the average person to get cancer with Lynch syndrome is 45. I was 35.
Wow. You were also a nurse as well, so you were
yes.
Obviously able to take care of your health. Now, obviously this, because it's a genetic strain, there's a family history here. And Pat, it's very important, isn't it? Because the cancers then are spotted across the family,
yeah.
Ellen's family, your mum and Anne's mum.
And also to get testing, you know, there's a 3-2-1 scale. Three family members, two generations, and one cancer before age 50. And we fill all those criterias.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our families... They had five children, and all five children got cancer.
Extraordinary. So it's a very strong and dangerous genome that's in there that needs to be spotted, and you have to test for it.
Absolutely, Oliver. I mean, I would like to be able to say that I immediately took action, but I'm afraid that didn't happen. When Anne came on the scene in 94, she mentioned about her colon cancer, and my mother, our mother had died of colon cancer
That was Ellen had died of colon cancer.
Ellen, yeah, at the age of 62. And, you know, looking back later, we discovered her dad died at 50 and his mother died at 51. So there was a strong genetic thing going on.
There was a chain of cancers, yeah.
But even so, in 94, cancer wasn't something I wanted to entertain.
Right. So when you heard, look at, and your new sister, your new friend.
Well, certainly in 2004, when she mentioned about this genetic issue called Lynch syndrome, which predisposes you to cancer. So my fear of cancer was pretty strong, you know. But
for the 10 years previously, you hadn't been doing the tests or?
No, well, I didn't even entertain it, you know. But even in
what was that about? Is that because that gets to the heart of matters, isn't it, for people out there? There was just a fear.
Fear.
Trouble till trouble troubles you. That sort of silly attitude.
I don't want to know. You know. I mean, don't think about it. Yeah. But when Anne then got tested in 2004, and she is a little bit tenacious.
we've noticed
along with herself and my wife. I eventually half engaged by entering into colonoscopies every 3 years.
Right.
And it was on the third colonoscopy that they discovered cancer. I had absolutely no symptoms and it had spread to the lymph nodes. So I really wonder, you know, what would have happened had Anne not come on the scene.
Anne, very grateful man here for your tenacity and for being the nearly the annoying older sister.
Yes. Now, can I speak? Or
yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead. Absolutely.
What do you do? Do you just piece this all together yourself afterwards?
We're live on the air.
Oh.
But don't you worry. You keep telling us, because we know you're a no-nonsense woman. It's about getting this test. Isn't that what you've done? And you've advised your family to do it.
Yes.
And it has worked. It has saved lives already. You mentioned your son. Has your son been tested, Anne?
Unfortunately, my son is 54 and he has not been tested.
Oh, no.
He refuses to do so. And I have told my grandchildren that I was positive for MSH1 and that their father should be tested. And they got on his case and he still hasn't done it.
There's definitely stubborn Irish.
He just doesn't want to know. Well, some people can't face it.
Yeah, it's complicated, Anne, you know. I mean, in my own case, I have three adult children. Two have been tested. One is positive, one negative, and the other decided not to be tested. And I think, I mean, it is up to each individual.
Yes.
And it's important, you know, when people are making a decision like about this, it's not like going with a broken arm. Mm-hmm. It's not just yourself. It could be your parents, your siblings, your children, your cousins, that could be affected by the result of your test. So it's important that you would have somebody like a genetic counsellor, who are trained professionals, healthcare professionals. And by the way, they're not even recognised by the HSE.
Want to get this...
May I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Anne, yes.
Well, my both brothers have a deep sense of gratitude to have possibly saved their lives due to this testing.
You want people to know this, don't you? This is absolutely, this is the mission now, to get people tested. Pat, you were just going to say, on the public system, can people get tested for this?
Yes, you need to be referred by your GP. Okay. Now, unfortunately, you know, after my cancer in 2012, about a year or two later, I decided that there was very little information or reliable information and very little knowledge, not just in the public, but in the medical setup about this particular thing. Mm-hmm. And
it's American research, is where the name Lynch syndrome came from. It's 1960s.
Came from a Dr. Lynch.
Yeah.
Henry Lynch.
Yes.
Has to have had an Irish connection someplace.
Yeah,
and they spotted these patterns. Is that what people should be looking at from their families?
Yeah.
The kind of chain of colon cancers in the past.
Exactly. Or not just colon, endometrial, ovarian, whatever. I mean, just to give you a figure, I mean, let's say the normal population for, let's say, colon cancer might be about 2% of a risk. With Lynch syndrome, depending on, there are about four different mutations, it could be up to 60-70%. So it's quite high.
Okay.
And I mean, like in our family, all three of us have had cancers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a 1 in 2 chance of your children inheriting it as well. And I just like to say something important. Just because you inherit the genetic defect, it doesn't automatically mean that you will get a cancer. But it is important to enter into surveillance and whatever. Because, I mean, not alone might it discover cancer at an early stage, it will also possibly prevent cancer. Mm. And from the country's point of view, never mind the individual, it's a very positive return on an investment that's very lacking in the area, particularly like genetic counselling, which is about 80% under what it should be.
So if you're looking for this genetic test in the public system, it's quite a long wait.
It could be 18 months at the moment.
Okay.
You know, it is triaged, but you could be waiting 18 months.
Did you go private then? Did you get it done privately or did you?
No, of course, I waited until I had cancer before I got tested.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, until the genetics
but,
thing.
But yes, you can go private or public. And if you go public, it's free. But unfortunately, the state needs to put in more finance into it because there is a very positive return.
I have a statement from the HSE, the National Cancer Strategy, which goes up to 2026 and says the HSE will ensure the existing cancer genetic services are amalgamated into one national cancer genetic service and will identify the most appropriate site for its location. They've completed scoping of cancer genetic services in all designated cancer centres. The identification of one site will be progressed as soon as is practicable. I mean, it sounds like it's just this, like everything, it's in progress.
There are strategies there, like everything. There's that national 10-year plan. There's also a new 5-year genomic genetic strategy, and there's a model of care. But unfortunately, words don't become actions until they are financed.
Well, you've certainly done your job. You've done your bit as well, Anne. I'll bring you in here one last time. You've done your bit. You've got your grateful brothers, and you've got along with your life quite happily in the end.
Yes.
Cancer-free now.
Yes, I haven't had cancer since 9/11.
Okay, good. Well,
2001.
Hopefully it remains like that. Pat, I just want to finish actually on the story, the lovely story that Anne mentioned about the address she wrote out back in the 70s. And it stayed in the family. The nun did bring the address to your mum, Ellen.
She obviously did. It was a small little notebook. Anne had written about her name and address in the third last page or whatever. It was blank apart from that. But my mother used it then to fill in other contacts.
Despite not writing to Anne or making contact, having got this notebook, I mean.
But she obviously received it and knew that Anne was alive.
Extraordinary. And she kept it all her life, adding other addresses
to
it.
She kept it, yep.
She thought she'd lost it at one point.
I was not aware of that story now, so yeah. But, you know, I suppose, you know, in 2014, I decided to try and do something. So I set up a small group and a website called Lynch Syndrome Ireland. So if anybody wants to check in with us.
That's a good note to end on. Thank you, Anne Detter in Florida for that, and Pat Fahey in studio. LynchSyndromeIreland.com is the address. And it's also, if you look up Lynch Syndrome on Facebook, you also get in contact as well. There's an email here. Do you want to give out that email, Pat, that I have? Is it okay? Lynch Syndrome, and it's Ireland as an IRL, LynchSyndromeIRL@gmail.com. Yes. And people send you messages there and answer, I suppose.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. That's Pat Fahey and
Anne. Thanks, Anne.
Thanks a million.